This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
This morning, President Trump went after the Mueller witch hunt, tweeting, quote, "The appointment of the special counsel is totally unconstitutional. Despite that, we'll play the game because I, unlike the Democrats, have done nothing wrong. All right, here with all the legal commentary, I call him the great one. He's the host of CRTV's Levin TV, the host of Life, Liberty, Levin, the number one show on Sunday nights at 10 here on Fox News. The great one. All right. The idea that a president can be indicted, I want you to deal with that. I want you to deal with the idea of pardons. I want you to, because this is your wheelhouse, Mark. And the idea that the president's done anything wrong, I see you've got your papers and you are prepared, sir. Go.
All right, number one, this indictment issue. The president can't be indicted according to the United States Department of Justice, the two memos that they put together. This has been the position of the Department of Justice for almost half a century. Mr. Mueller is an inferior employee in terms of the Department of Justice. He works for the Department of Justice, and he must comply with the policies of the Department of Justice. So even putting aside the constitutional issue, he can't defy the Department of Justice and bring an indictment. I believe they already understand that because they watch your show. Constitutionally, we know he can't either because of the arguments laid out by Republican administration and Democrat administration. In other words, you can't cripple the President of the United States. He's the most powerful man in the federal government, and expect him to have his due process constitutional rights properly defended at the same time. No president's been indicted, and there's a reason for that. No president's ever been brought before a federal grand jury, and there's a reason for that. Perhaps Mr. Mueller is the one who is the tyrant, not the President of the United States. Now, the Appointments Clause of the Constitution. President Trump didn't write that. Last time I checked, the framers wrote it, and it was ratified by all the states. The defect here is not that every special counsel's appointment is unconstitutional. Every special counsel's appointment is not unconstitutional. This special counsel's appointment is unconstitutional because the Deputy Attorney General, Mr. Rosenstein, hasn't educated himself about the Appointments Clause. He does not have the power to substitute his will for the President and the Senate. The President nominates principal officers to the United States Senate, and the Senate must confirm. Assistant Attorneys General, Assistant United States Attorneys, Assistant Secretaries, and up. The problem is Mr. Rosenstein conferred so much power onto this special counsel. No specific criminal statutes, no specific individuals, really, and his oversight is so passive and so limited, as he promised he would keep his hands off of Mr. Mueller, that he's created an unconstitutional special counsel. And I believe if the president challenges that one day, he will be successful. Now, the pardon power. You know this memo they keep referring to on Capitol Hill, Mr. Schumer, of all people, it's 2.5 pages long. Page one, page two, page three. See my X's? Those are the irrelevant parts of the memo that have nothing to do with what's going on today. See the circle? That's it. And there's one sentence in this whole thing. Under the fundamental rule that no one may be a judge in his own case, it would seem that the question should be answered in the negative. That is, whether the president can pardon himself. This is not a legal document. This is a joke.
You love Levin and his take and understanding, his command of the Constitution, what he points out here. Keep in mind what, the attorney, John Whitehead had to say from the Rutherford Institute in his conversation with attorneys, people that should have a handle of what's going on in the Constitution. It makes you wonder, even the members of Congress, Senate, as well as the House of Representatives, how much of a handle do they have on our U.S. Constitution, especially on these minute details that I think in part, as we were talking with Steve Cortez earlier, sometimes I just think that Trump's playing with people. just to get them exercised. And, you know, and the mainstream media is happy to jump all over this and make it seem like Donald Trump is a total idiot and he doesn't know what he's doing. Sometimes I think it's all a muse sometimes, just for fun. Why not? After all that they try to do to him and his family, why not give them a little bit of their own medicine? 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
It is 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Good to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. I'm Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there. Our next guest is attorney Linda Kenny Bodden. And a little bit of her background, a former criminal prosecutor turned private trial attorney who focuses on criminal defense, civil rights, and employment discrimination. Her cases have included the double homicide trial of former New England Patriots football player Aaron Hernandez, for which he was acquitted. The New Jersey Turnpike 4 involving the racial profiling and shooting of several minority young men on the New Jersey Turnpike, former NBA basketball star Jason Williams, and on and on. Linda, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Hi, Bill. Very excited to be on with you.
Hey, good to have you here to talk about, boy, this incredible story. I was reading it about it the other day in preparation for our time together. This Pennsylvania judge vacating a 1991 rape conviction of a man who wrongly served 28 years for a crime, but thank goodness for new DNA evidence to prove that he didn't commit this. I mean, this is absolutely horrendous, you know, Linda, and thank God for DNA, right?
Right, right. The case was named John Kunko, and it was litigated by the Innocence Project, which has now cleared over 356 people over the past 25 years with DNA exonerations. And this is a typical case that there is bad science being used in the courtroom to convict people, and it gets overturned years later with good science.
Yeah. Well, but meanwhile, bad science has done this to an individual. I mean, you've taken, you know, it could be a third of his life, and you put him behind bars. I don't know how you make this up. I mean, this just breaks my heart to read about John Kunko's story.
Yes, and you add to that, think about the poor victim, where the person who actually raped and assaulted her for a six-hour period has been roaming free for all these years, while Mr. Kunko has been in prison trying to show that he's innocent. It's a terrible, terrible story, both ways.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, you know, the victim herself, what she must have been subjected to, and now here she finds out 28 years later that it's the wrong guy.
Yeah, and then, you know, for a victim to now know that she was also misled by the police, who, Mr. Kunko had a lisp, and apparently the police imitated his talking to the victim, and she said, okay, that kind of sounds like the guy. So now not only is she the victim of this horrendous sexual crime, and now she probably feels responsible for helping put this man away, and she was manipulated. It is just a tragic thing that occurs in the courtroom when bad science is allowed into the courtroom by judges.
Well, and, you know, as you say, bad science, and I mean, you can't give the police officers a lot of room here either. I mean, they jump to a lot of conclusions in this. I mean, a lot of the onus falls on them, does it not?
Yeah, yes, it does. And this is a case where the police officers obviously circled in on Mr. Kunko, all right, and then used this science called bite mark evidence, which to say that Mr. Kunko's bite matched a bite on the victim. And then once they thought they had that, they just didn't let go. So everyone deserves to a knock on this one, both the police, the judge, and even right now the prosecutor, the Pennsylvania DA, because remember, the hearing occurred in 2016, which showed that Mr. Kunko did not match the DNA that was found at the crime scene on several different objects, both a blanket and electric cord to a light, and the scientists have now recanted the testimony, saying they couldn't say this was Mr. Kunko's bite mark, and yet for 2 years, the Linnison's Project had to litigate that. So I think now you have to put the blame on the prosecutor here. You know, this is the whole thing that we talk about overreaching of prosecutors, which is in the news now and in the vogue now because of President Trump. And whatever you agree or disagree on him, the issue is true that prosecutors do overreach with bad evidence.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is what lends credibility to those that argue that our justice system is broken, Linda, does it not?
Yes, it absolutely does, because Mr. Kunko is not an isolated case. The Innocence Project itself has nearly 400 exonerations, but there are thousands more by other projects across the United States. And remember, that's just on because you have DNA. And only about 1% of the crimes that occur have DNA evidence. So if you assume that these convictions are faulty, that there's 2% of people are faulty in these convictions, you have to lend that across the whole aura of convictions and say there's probably a lot of people in jail for bad evidence that they don't have something like DNA to refute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have no idea if it's 1%, 10%, 50%. I mean, at this point, it's a bit of a guess, is it not?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a bit of a guess. What we can know is that on the cases that the Innocence Project has litigated, that there are certain factors that cause things to occur, such as misconduct. Mm-hmm. Such as false confessions, such as informants, such as bad science, such as misidentification by witnesses. So we can know percentages based on that. But again, you know, it could be more because we have such a minuscule portion here. But Mr. Kunko really is still awaiting his final freedom because, remember, the prosecutor's office, the district attorney, has not decided to drop these charges yet. He is just out awaiting for that decision.
Wow. Yeah, you would think it would be immediate, don't you?
That's what you would think. It would have been immediate in 2016. It should be immediate in 2018. But, you know, there was a case the year before, called Anthony Wright, again, out of Pennsylvania, out of Philadelphia, where the jury was out for something like 10 minutes because the DNA exonerated Mr. Wright for a murder, clearly exonerated and pointed to somebody who had committed bad crimes and murders in the past, and yet the DA refused to dismiss the charges, and it was the only case that the Innocence Project had to try to retrial after the DNA proved somebody innocent. And the jury made it known they were very unhappy with the district attorney. It was subsequently been learned that those district attorneys that litigated the Wright case have been terminated by the new DA in Philadelphia.
Well, Linda, you know, get the politics out of it. And, you know, in my understanding, at least my observation of law enforcement and the justice system, is you've got some pretty sharp people that can look at a case. And I know sometimes, you know, we talk about gut. and their instinct. I mean, they are very gifted people to be able to discern if something is not right. And but you have the political aspect of it, and like you say, you've got these district attorneys that have spent a lot of money, and they've got their futures and careers to look at, and you have the dynamic tension between someone's ambition and someone's life. Those are tough. Tough polar opposites to deal with here, and too often it seems that the wrong person is losing here.
Boy, Bill, did you put that right about, you know, there is a problem with ambition, because a lot of the district attorneys on these high-profile cases then run for office.
Linda, I got to pause for just a second because we got to go to a break. We'll be right back. More from Linda Kenny-Banton after this.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
It's a very confusing time in the financial markets, and nobody knows that better than financial markets analyst Doug Casey. Casey Research wants to send you a free copy of Doug's controversial new book about the stock market, our economy, and American politics. Warning, this book is not politically correct. Casey is known for his outspoken and brutally honest views. He once called global warming a political scam. He's made millions betting on investments seen as too controversial by the mainstream. In this new book, Casey reveals shocking predictions about hot issues like immigration, Russia, and the next stock superboom. Doug Casey is an investing legend. Find out where he's looking for gains in spaces like tech, even cryptocurrencies. But watch out, this book is simply too controversial for bookstores. Go to totallyincorrectoffer.com to get your free copy so you can see for yourself. Shipping and handling charges apply. But be warned, this material may be taken down at any time. Just go to totallyincorrectoffer.com. That's www.totallyincorrectoffer.com. Totallyincorrectoffer.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
See color here. We just love America. Bill Martinez live.
We're back with you, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, our conversation with Linda Cannon-Bodden continues. She is a former criminal prosecutor turned private trial attorney who focuses on criminal defense, civil rights, and employment discrimination. Of course, you hear the name Bodden, and you know, yes, she is. Dr. Michael Bodden is her husband, and they've written some novels, and we're going to be talking about that in just a moment. But Linda certainly has a lot of notoriety on her own, appears regularly on TV networks as a guest legal commentator. Linda, we were talking about this dynamic tension that exists between ambition and justice, and that has gotten in the way. And I know the Innocence Project has just, it's been 25 years. They're celebrating their 25-year anniversary. It's hard to think that this was such an issue. And, of course, it came to light more and more. Certainly, we heard a lot about the Innocence Project back with the O.J. trial.
Yes, it's amazing that one of the most notorious trials really brought DNA into the public domain, because no one knew what DNA was when this started back then, and the public has grabbed onto it, as have both prosecutors and defense attorneys, because when it's used right, it can get the bad guy. And you know, if you're a defense attorney and you have the bad guy, you want to know that right up so you can try to negotiate a plea deal. It's not so, you know, as you say, it's colorblind, it's colorless, it's not black and white, it's just the way it is. It's justice.
Well, and you think about, as you say, with DNA, you're dealing with about 1% of the cases, roughly just right off the bat, because where there's DNA involved and where there's not, then you run into these other areas. But it would lead you to believe that if we're having some problem, in injustice, and we have DNA at one hand, but what about the other people?
Yeah,
don't have that.
So we need to have this discussion, and more than discussion, we need to reform this system. It also should be that, you know, if you and I get arrested, Bill, you know, our whole life savings, and we have to mortgage our houses, and we may not even be able to keep up because the prosecution has so many resources. Now,
exactly.
If you're the bad guy, a real bad guy, that's good. Throw them in jail. I'm not advocating anybody who's guilty be set free. But if you're not, it's been a terrible system, and we're seeing that, especially for people that can't make bail. You know, they spent, like in New York here, we had some person spend 3 years in jail because they couldn't make bail over, a small crime. It turns out he was innocent. You know, and then later on killed himself because of all the stress. So we need to do some reforms, and I think the Innocence Project has shown the way.
Yeah, without a doubt. And we the people need to stay on top of this and understand that not all forensic evidence is equal, right?
That's correct. Not all forensic. Bite mark evidence is not a good forensic science. It's never been validated. There are other issues. Fingerprints, which everyone thinks is perfect, but it would be perfect in a perfect world, but the problem with fingerprints is that it relies on identification or subjective analysis by somebody, and they can get it wrong. Hair match has been shown to be totally fraudulent. There's been a number of people executed with fraudulent hair match testimonies. So we need to separate good science from bad science and not just say use all science because we want to get the guilty person. Let's get the guilty person who is the guilty person, not the innocent person who the cops have targeted.
Are we stuck in some old paradigm that is holding us back? I mean, yes, we have the, you know, DNA evidence coming into play. Thank God for the Innocence Project and others that have been supporting DNA science to either convict or, exonerate, people here when it comes to justice. But when you say that we need to look at the system, is it a top-down type of look-see to where we really need to go deep in this, that maybe we've just adhered to some old bad habits that need to be revised?
Yes, because, you know, for instance, in the courtroom, what judges do, they say, well, judge over there in New Mexico, they allowed this evidence, so I'm going to allow it.
Right.
Or judge in New York allowed this evidence, so I'm going to allow it. They need to make independent determinations, and we need to start demanding they make independent determinations, not just determinations based on the same old stuff. Because if we have the same old stuff happen, it's going to happen in the future. And you and I, we don't want to go to jail for something we didn't do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as you say, I mean, to get through the process, if you're a middle-class America and you're dealing with a court system, I mean, you've got the impact that this could have, the costs of of dealing with courts and, you know, the whole deal, you might want to plea out in order to avoid some excruciating and, you know, just endurable pain for your family.
That's right. And also, you know, there's another aspect of this, and it has to do with the drug epidemic in this country, that, you know, when I used to pick juries as a prosecutor, maybe one juror would say there's a problem with drugs in their family, and they'll eventually get into the court system. Now, almost every juror says that. So everybody could possibly have a family member or a friend that could be impacted by the justice system, because we have things that are happening in our society that end up in the justice system, but it may not be so just.
Mm-hmm. Well, Linda, let's talk about the Phil Spector murder trial that I'll tell you, has people still confused to this day. What is going on?
Well, you know, when I tried the case, he was it was a hung jury, and then he was retried with another attorney. And it's not that I didn't want to do it; it's just that I was too sick. I ended up with pneumonia, and I was in great agony for a long period of time afterwards. And then he did his appeals. And the courts have rejected all of his appeals. So right now he's in jail. I don't know if there's a habeas that's going to be filed. He is getting divorced or is divorced. I'm not sure where the status of that is, because I know there was some articles when the movie done by David Mamet came out on HBO about his wife talking about it. But that movie, written by David Mamet for HBO, called Phil Spector, had Helen Mirren playing me and was trying to bring a light on the forensic science in that case, which may have been faulty. But, you know, everybody has a view of Phil Spector, and I don't think it pushed that view that the science was faulty far enough.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about your novel, Remain Silence, that you and your husband, Michael Bodden, have written. What a thrill, I mean, for you. I mean, for all your years of experience and in the courtrooms, and now to write a novel that gives you some literary flexibility, right?
Yeah, and we've been so busy. We're actually going to do our next novel called Dead Storage. We're about 134 pages into it. But, yes, we have flexibility. We can take positions that don't necessarily mean our positions, or we can attack people that we think are unjust without coming back to us. So it does give you flexibility. But interesting enough, this novel involves what was called the Mind Control Program, the Culture Program, that the CIA was doing back a while ago. And funny enough, I just read an article yesterday about Sirhan Sirhan, the assassin of Robert Kennedy, and it said that he may have been part of this McCultra program. So, you know, it's amazing how novels have a way of circling back to real life.
Yeah, amazing that you bring up Sirhan Sirhan. I think today, to this day, remains a mystery of, you know, this lone gunman able to get into the Ambassador Hotel there and be able to, you know, come behind a senator and shoot him.
That's why you have to be very careful sometimes in high-profile cases. You know, he may be guilty because he admitted it, but maybe his guilt was based on something else that was even more sinister, if you could have something more sinister than assassination. I'm not sure. But real life, again, intersects with old things, and that whole CIA McCulture program, again, was a disaster for the country. It actually caused people to leap out of windows and kill themselves because they were experimenting with, like, LSD and all. And Sirhan may have been part of that program, according to the news articles.
You know, kind of amazing to think that somebody would give up their life for this, and to this day, it still remains a mystery as to why and what connections, right?
Right, right. So those are the things we try to explore in our novels, Remain Silent, Scales of Justice, and hopefully with Dead Storage, we'll see. But we have to continue our work just like you, and that's sometimes that work interferes with our avocation.
Well, good fun. Well, congratulations to you and your husband, and the debut novel, Remain Silent, available at all the usual places.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Linda Kenney-Botten on Bill Martinez Live. Just about 29 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, and rats. If you've made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has 90 years of experience eliminating home invaders. And they make it easy for homeowners to be protected by offering a free pest estimate by calling 1-800-676-9879. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, rats, and other pests. This is your last chance. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will never stop working to keep you out with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Pests, wherever you are, I will find you. Pests, you've been warned. Homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate. 1-800-676-9879. 1-800-676-9879. 30-day money-back guarantee at participating locations. Limitations apply. See plan for details.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time.
Bill Martinez.
With everything exists to lift you high, so alive. And if the wind goes where you send it, so alive. If the rocks cry.
Live.
Hey, it's the way you like it. It's fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. Just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour, we're going to be visiting with primetime Emmy-winning filmmaker Corey Taylor in his new book, How Hitler Was Made. The question you may have asked yourself is, how did an obscure agitator on the political fringes of the early 20th century Germany rise to become the supreme leader of the Third Reich? Unlike many other books that track Adolf Hitler's career after 1933, this book focuses on his formative period immediately following the First World War. Corey, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Thank you very much, Bill. I've been looking forward to talking with you.
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting. Maybe the environment knew this, but this topic about Adolf Hitler has come up several times in the last few weeks. So people must have known, or maybe I was projecting I was going to have this conversation with you, because, the conversation has been about, well, what created Hitler? What begat Hitler?
Right.
And so the timing of your book you know, seems to be rather perfect, because we hear often about World War II and what Hitler did, but, you know, Hitler, World War I begat Adolf Hitler, did it not?
That's correct. That's correct.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, you know, I felt compelled, when I started this book about 4 years ago, I felt compelled to look at the dark side of humanity, because I wanted to contribute to a more compassionate society, and I wanted to write about Hitler. And initially, I had some difficulty choosing the subject, because, as you know, there's numerous and well-known biographies already been written about Hitler. There's so much material about the Second World War and the Holocaust from almost every angle. Why write about a subject that's already well documented? So I pulled a group of close friends, and they all said kind of what you're saying. They said, you know, we want to know how did it start? How did he get his foothold in the political mainstream? How did he achieve power, and why did the German people support him? And because I listened to them, this led to a discovery of a treasure trove of material, that stories that 99% of the American public don't know. And it's this period of 1918 to 1924, right after the First World War, when Germany was embroiled in a socialist revolution. Now, this revolution was a reactionary movement against the corrupt leadership, Germany's corrupt authoritarian leadership during the First World War. So it wasn't like a political uprising unto itself. It was reacting to the horrors of that war. The Germans during the war had been tricked, led to believe that Germany had been attacked, when in fact the Germans had encouraged and essentially started the war. And when that betrayal became more well known, particularly among a group of intellectuals, including Jewish intellectuals, who decided to enter politics and seize power in Germany's southernmost state of Bavaria, and then try and infuse democracy into German governance to attract the support of U.S. President Woodrow Wilson, and also to kind of infuse some morality into the German system, they aroused intense hatred from the anti-Semitic extreme right. So it's during this period that Hitler himself is in Munich, but the record of this six-month period when he's there was expunged by the Nazis. Nobody knows what he was really doing. Mm-hmm. When the Nazis came to power many years later in 1933, they went into all the records and basically erased the history of what he was doing, and then created a false narrative of pretending that he had played a role in this counter-revolution, which eventually attacked and killed those post-war leaders, those revolutionary leaders. But, you know, what was he doing? How did he do it? When he was initially recruited into the Military Intelligence Bureau that was created to inoculate soldiers from the dangers of Bolshevism and communism, his boss described him as a stray dog. So how did Hitler go from being a stray dog who was willing to cast his lot with anyone, including Jews? That's what his boss said. Mm-hmm. He was desperate to stay in the military, desperate for a job. How did he go from being a, you know, quote unquote stray dog to the leader of Nazi infamy, who as early as 1923 had tens of thousands of members and was willing to try and launch a coup against the national government? That's how Hitler was made is about.
So what do you suspect in those 6 months in Munich? What do you think went down? Was it his planning to do all this, or?
Well, that's a great question. You know, your top historians today kind of agree, the revised opinion, mm-hmm. is that he had adopted a wait-and-see attitude. So he didn't know who was going to ultimately prevail. He was actually in a soldiers' council, which was affiliated with, just to back up for a second, so right after the war, it was a anti-war journalist named Kurt Eisner, who had a Jewish background and had been in prison for his anti-war activities. He had seized power in Bavaria and in Munich. And as I mentioned before, he was hated by the extreme right. And but Hitler was one of those sort of elected representatives in Munich's garrisons on that side. But when the national government and the opponents of Eisner's successors, who had turned to communism and established a Soviet republic in Bavaria, when they attacked in May of 1919 and not only took back Munich, but murdered thousands of suspected communists with summary justice. These people didn't have trials. They just were, many of them lined up and shot, or worse. Mm-hmm. So Hitler neither, you know, he doesn't fight for the Soviet Republic, and he doesn't join the counter-revolution either. And my opinion is that, yeah, his political convictions weren't formed yet, to the degree that he had decided, you know, which side he was going to fight on. And when he joined that military intelligence bureau right afterwards in the summer of 1919, that's when he sort of became radicalized as a, you know, virulent anti-Semitic and anti-Bolshevist orator, public speaker, who began to envision himself as having a mission to be Germany's savior.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, exactly what he was doing in that period, you know, there's hints. We know he's over here. He's on the Austrian border. He's doing odd jobs at a prison labor camp. He's back in Munich. He's guarding the central train station. But people don't really know. There's no record of his political convictions at that time. And then Mein Kampf, which goes to great lengths to describe virtually every other mm-hmm. period of his life, skips over.
Exactly.
Over this period.
Well, Corey, we got to go to break. Let's pick it up right there when we come back. How Hitler was made. Corey Taylor is with us. Stay with us. It's 18 before the top of the hour.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guarantee quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
I want to live this life unsafe, unsure, but not afraid.
Bill Martinez.
Minutes before the top of the hour, Corey Taylor is with us. We're talking his new book, How Hitler Was Made Germany and the Rise of the Perfect Nazi. Corey, like so many historians I know, the heart of the historian is looking at history in such a way that we would learn from the past, lest we repeat it. And here in 21st century America, we see a lot of the young kids embracing socialism and not even understanding what it's all about or even how many millions of people have died at the hands of all the isms in the era, in the early 20th century, whether we're talking about communism or socialism. And of course, right in, you know, at the forefront of all that comes what, you know, has been described as the perfect Nazi, Adolf Hitler. You know, break that down for us. You know, explain that a little bit more so people understand where you're coming from in this book.
Well, it's, you know, it's what I see coming right after the First World War is that, yes, there are a lot of socialists and communists in Germany in 1918-1919, and they are, you know, some of them are trying to achieve power and are hardcore communists, and might want to, many of them, to follow the Russian model. Mm-hmm. And appropriate land and do the things that the Soviets had done. Mm-hmm. But I would say the larger group, socialism was a means through which they could rebel against a autocratic leadership in Germany that was cruel and had sent over 2 million young men to their deaths and left twice as many wounded and lied to its people about starting the war. And so, you know, it's a conflicted time because those people who embraced that, those quote-unquote isms, they were doing it because they really wanted to give the people a voice. So
even though they're referred to, I'm not talking about the hardcore communists, I'm talking about the early socialists after the war in Germany, like the anti-war socialist journalist Kurt Eisner. These guys were trying to infuse democracy into governance. They were trying to give the people a voice, and they felt that they were the latest addition to they wanted in the League of Nations, and they considered themselves the youngest democracy in America, in the world, and they thought that they would receive the support of the Americans. Now, so you have that group, and then hostile to that group is this anti-Semitic nationalist movement in southern Germany, and they're anti-Semitic, they're anti-Bolshevist, and the fact that these Jewish socialists have come to power is their worst nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And they began organizing and conspiring against that Jewish leadership. And I don't want to ruin the book for people, but they come to blows, and the anti-Semitic nationalists win. And then the anti-Semitic nationalists, they discover they need a spokesman. They need a leader. They need a charismatic leader for their movement. And contrary to popular belief and Nazi propaganda, which had that Hitler was the savior of the German Workers' Party and had built the movement by himself, he was actually discovered and groomed by a group of a highly sophisticated group of anti-Semitic nationalists who coalesced around him, including his mentor, Dietrich Eckart, who was a very influential figure in his life.
So Hitler really, was kind of a marketing project, so to speak, then, huh?
That's fair, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of more recent scholarship is that, he always portrayed the party in its early days as pathetic and they don't have this and they don't have that. But he never talked about in Mein Kampf the fact that this group is supported by heavyweights in the military, in the government, in the police, in industry, in academia.
Mm-hmm.
And, so these people were behind Hitler. Eventually, they lost control of him.
Right. Well, going back in terms of what happened after World War One, which set the stage for this movement, was the international community came down really hard on Germany. And as you know, and that you've addressed in your book, and so this was all part and parcel. I mean, they were, the boot of the world was on their throats. And, like in any kind of negotiation, I mean, here we are, we're about to go in negotiation with the North Koreans. And Donald Trump knows this, that there's got to be that sense of win-win. You've got to be able to let people have this sense of their dignity. I mean, we saw this happen in the Civil War, but that didn't happen in this case. There was the heavy boot of the international community fell on Germany. So it left a bad taste in the mouth for, a country that was trying to recover, trying to filter, what happened? How did we get in this war anyway? And then, of course, it became ripe to everybody wants to understand what happened and to blame somebody. So who's the perfect scapegoat, right?
Well, you hit it on the head. Those humiliating terms of the Treaty of Versailles left people feeling so bitter. And when they were compounded with the fact that everybody lost somebody in their family in the war, and that there was also a post-war famine because the Brits had a blockade on Germany, that you would have thought that it would have ended with the armistice in November of 1918, but actually the British refused to withdraw until the Treaty of Versailles was signed, many months later. So the situation with the famine in Germany was so bad. Literally, you had pet owners being forced to eat their own cats and dogs.
Wow. Wow.
There was so little food. So the humiliation, of defeat and war, the harsh terms of the Treaty of Versailles, and the hyperinflation that these things eventually triggered, and, you know, much later, economic depression. These are known as the main factors, you know, that birthed the rise of Nazism.
Mm-hmm.
And what my book points out is that also, which should be included in those group of causes, is this post-war revolution, because those leaders, and in particular those Jewish leaders who fought in that brief revolutionary movement right after the war in Germany, these became Hitler's scapegoats. They were, you know, when I first started studying this subject, mm-hmm. I was always, you know, Hitler's logic in Mein Kampf, I mean, like it or not, there's a certain brilliance there. Mm-hmm. But when he gets to the subject of the Jews, it's always like, wow, that's where he loses me. He's totally crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no proof of this. It doesn't make any sense, this whole thing about an international conspiracy of Jews and, you know, that the Jews invented capitalism and the Jews invented Bolshevism, and it just was seemed like nonsense, crazy nonsense. But I could understand now, knowing about those leaders who briefly assumed power in Bavaria, that these were like the, he could point to these people and say, see, look, mm-hmm. you know, these people from the far left who were Jews, they were trying to take over the country. Remember how they failed. And that was a device that he was able to use very effectively. As for you mentioning the North Korea and this upcoming summit, I certainly hope for the success of that summit,
mm-hmm.
and glad that we'll be talking.
Yeah, that we would. There is a possibility. Could you imagine, Corey, in our lifetime to be able to reunite the Korean Peninsula, you know, families that have been separated all these years. It is a grand vision, but again, we have to look at it in such a way that we do not repeat the mistakes of past history and think that we're going to put a heavy boot on them. And I think that the vision that Donald Trump is presenting to Kim Jong-un is one of a future and one of you know, it could be life-changing. It could be culture-changing, you know, for the North Koreans. I mean, for them to suddenly have the lights on in their country could be amazing. And for a while there in Germany, as you write in the book, the lights were off. And it took a guy, you know, like Hitler and the people behind him to take advantage. It was ripe for a populist movement, a populist message. And Hitler and his people, they understood what they needed. They needed some pride. And he was giving it to him in spades. And so what along the way, if he was blaming a group of people, that was incidental. They were, what was more important to them was that they were getting some dignity back, right?
Yeah, I think that in the case of his blaming the Jews, I mean, that was what he did. That was what he used to distinguish his movement
right.
from all the other far-right movements.
I'll tell you, this is a must-read. You will enjoy this book, ladies and gentlemen. It is great history here. How Hitler Was Made, Corey Taylor on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Corey.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Hunters, anglers, campers.